All right, Mike, in this week's edition of Point Blank Predictions Gone Wrong, first it was Josh Hosang up with the big club, and you have to think within the next few days, Yaroslav Halak is going to be back because J.F. Berube cannot stop a beach ball.
Absolutely. Berube's been terrible, and I got no problem being wrong if the Islanders are actually going to win games.
Amen, brother. Let's do it.
Welcome to the Point Blank Podcast, covering New York Islanders hockey. Here are your hosts, Brian Compton and Mike Carver.
All right, welcome to the show. B-Comp and Carver here with you in downtown Manhattan. We're going to speak with Michael Fornabio from the Connecticut Post. He's the Bridgeport Sound Tigers beat writer. We're going to speak with Mike in just a few minutes. Michael, how are you?
I'm doing great, buddy. What's going on?
You take care of shoveling out front or what?
No, I'm actually pretty lucky. I don't have to shovel where I am. Good, it's actually it's a really good deal. I got to probably get my wife's car out from underneath some snow. But other than that, I'm in good shape. I was at work for 48 hours. But we all got to do what we got to do.
So. Did you sleep at the studio or what?
No, they actually was able to force a hotel out of him.
Good for you, buddy.
So, yeah.
So you ordered room service, a steak sandwich?
And I didn't need to. And as we know, we didn't need to. I could have easily got home and got
Yeah, totally overrated.
But you know how that goes, pal. If you go home, there'll be 30 inches.
That's how the cookie crumbles. Michael, an absolutely huge win against the Carolina Hurricanes Tuesday night, 3-2 in overtime. I don't want to say the season was going to be over had they lost again to Carolina on Tuesday night, but boy, oh boy, they needed those 2 points.
Yeah, it was looking pretty grim there once it got to 2-0. I mean, especially coming off of that embarrassment on Monday night at the Barclays Center, to get down 2-0 early down in Raleigh, that was tough, but the team actually showed some guts, they showed some heart, which they had not shown in the night before, and they were able to fight back, get that 2 points, which was so huge for them. And it's going to be a dogfight all the way down to the end. But the Islanders have to start coming up with more consistent 60-minute efforts. But it was a great job by them. Hosang had a great game. And people were killing Greiss early on, and I understand it. But after it was 2-0, Greiss played great in that game.
Yeah.
He had some unbelievable stops in the second period that kept Carolina on the two spot. And it was huge for them. They get a win, and they put Carolina in the rear view for now. I do think they have one more game with them, unfortunately. but they move on, and they've got some more big games coming up.
Yeah, Mike, they needed that from Thomas Greiss because they know it. They know that Berube is just in a bad place right now. Like you said, it was 2-0. It could have been 5-0. He made it 3 unbelievable saves to make sure that the game didn't get out of hand. It was huge.
Yeah, he did the job, and, you know, he came in to the game Monday night, gave up 4 goals. Listen, you got to criticize him. He didn't play well. I know it's hard. There's a lot of excuses you can make for a guy that comes into a game and the team's down. You know, he didn't get in. He's cold. He didn't get warmed up. He didn't get this. Greiss came in the other night for Berube, and he let in goals. That first shot was just terrible. I mean, he was letting in just garbage on Monday night. So for him to then bounce back the next night, Isles really didn't have any options, as we'll talk about a lot on this show today. Berube has now given them no options to where they either have to play Thomas Greiss every single minute or they have to go and get Yaro Halak from down in Bridgeport. So this is the position that the Islanders are in right now. I think that Greiss is I've banged the drum for him being the one guy. We know that.
Yep.
I had plenty of arguments with people over the weekend about it. But But they're in a position right now where they've got to do something with the goaltending position.
Yeah, we'll get to that a little bit later in the show. Let's talk about Josh Hosang. This kid has been unbelievable. 3 goals and 3 assists in the last 5 games. He had another goal Tuesday night, set up JT for the game winner down there in Carolina. I don't mind eating crow about this kid. It's unbelievable, and I think Arthur alluded to this on Twitter during the game last night, Mike. 18 months ago, or whatever it was, he was running the stairs at the Coliseum because he didn't show up on time for his first day of pro training camp. And now here he is. For all the things that Gar Snow has done wrong, and I'll get to that later in the show for sure when it comes to the goaltending. Kudos to Garth and his staff for sticking with this kid, because if he's got his head on straight now, the Islanders might have something special in Josh Hosang.
Well, there's a double-edged sword for you there, Brian, because you can also say if the kid's this good, why'd it take so long for you to get him here?
Well, because of what happened the first 3 months of the season.
I know. I'm just saying, you know, this is – and listen, it appears that the kid has really started to focus in.
Yeah.
You could see that he's – maybe the maturity level has gone up over the last couple of weeks. We'll ask Michael about this, if the maturity level has gone up maybe before he had gotten here, because it seems like it has – it seems like being with the team, you know, you see him talking to Wade on the bench. You see him doing things. He's getting opportunities. I mean, Wade's putting him on the ice,
yep.
Brian. Late in the third.
As he should.
In overtime last night, of course, for the winner by Johnny. He's getting put in big situations. So I guess, yeah, you got to give him credit for sticking with him, because there was a lot of times where I thought they were going to give this kid away for nothing because he was going to be a problem off the ice. But you can also say if he's this good, you should have found a way to harness this a little bit earlier.
Mike, Josh Hosang wasn't here earlier because of Josh Hosang.
Right.
It's not true. Because of, you know, Garth was tentative to call him up because...
Listen, I can't kill Garth for not calling
you
him
can't.
Up because I sat
we
here
We have plenty to
ago.
Kill Garth for. We can't kill him for this.
I sat here 2 weeks ago and told you the guy was never going to play for the Islanders. So it's hard for me to now complain that he wasn't here earlier. I think he's done an unbelievable job. I think he's really going to help this team down the stretch because they need guys like him, because there's other guys who are top six forwards that do squat, as in zero. So they need him.
Yep.
But listen, he's done a great job, and it's great to see.
Yeah, for sure. And look, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves here, Mike. And I know that with all this arena stuff and, you know, there's reports that Barclays doesn't want the Islanders anymore. To the people at Barclays, are you sure you don't want to market the crap out of Josh Hosang if he's this legit and have him in your building 41 times a year? Are you sure? Because this kid,
yeah.
This kid, look, I don't want to get too far. Again, I'm a little excited right now because I love what I've seen from this kid. He could be the Islanders' PK Subban from a marketing standpoint.
Yeah, the kid's got some personality. There's no doubt about that. He's outgoing. I'd like to see him. Listen, before we get to him, off the ice stuff, Brian, I need to see him do more on it. All right. Because it's off the ice stuff is the reason why, you can make a case it took him so long to get here. So before we start making the kid's head any bigger, I need to see him continue to play more consistently. I do get what you're saying about that's the kind of guy that they can market. But before we market him, let's see him do it for more than 8 games. Let's just see.
I
need to see a little bit more. But he's definitely shown you that he could be that type of guy.
Before we get to Mike Fornabio, we have to talk about Monday night because that was a complete gong show.
Absolute, utter disgrace.
Yeah, and you know
what?
The fans showed up for the most part. They had almost 13,000 in the building on a Monday night, you know, knowing that a snowstorm was coming. Kudos to Islanders Country for showing up.
I can't blame them.
Players didn't.
They hadn't seen the team in 3 weeks, Brian.
Right.
I mean,
Mike, had they won one game on that road trip, there wouldn't have been 13,000 people in the building.
Right. They had a good road trip, which is why, they got 5 wins. They also got a point in the 6th game. So they did a great job on the road trip, and deservedly so that they got that kind of crowd on Monday night. But then you cannot go and repay that crowd by putting up the garbage performance that team put on the ice on Monday night. That, Bry, and you know this, you watched the game, I watched the game, 13,000 people were there watching the game live. That was an absolute disgrace. I put it on the same level as those Tampa games in November. That's how disgusting that game was.
And look, the goalies couldn't stop a puck. I get that. But the guys in front of them were – Brock Nelson was awful. Awful.
I mean, I'm tired of Brock Nelson. -4, and he didn't win a faceoff all night, I don't think. And I don't know if he's actually hurt with the upper body injury. I don't really care. He needed to sit a game last night for whatever reason it was. So that's a good job by the Isles there. If he's hurt, whatever, feel better, Brock, but I'm fine with you not in the lineup. Just getting back to Monday night. Another thing with the Hurricanes, Brian, on Monday night, enough of these guys that I've never heard of on the Carolina Hurricanes coming in and getting – it's either first career goals or it's their first career hat tricks. It's just something with – every time the Carolina Hurricanes play the Islanders, it's a disgrace. And I just – you know, you'd think that these are games where you can gain ground because you're playing. And I believe, was it Thomas Hickey who said after the game, you know, no offense to them.
Right.
But we have a lot more to play than they do. And we're the ones who should have came out a lot hungrier. Just a bad job all around on Monday night.
Yeah, it's bad, Mike. And, you know, it's becoming an epidemic where they're allowing 6 or 7 goals every 5 or 6 games. And there's no way they're going to make the playoffs if that trend continues.
There's no way they can do it. You look at the stretch since Wade took over, and Doug's done a nice job.
Yep.
There's no doubt. He has gotten them back into this position that they are in
yes,
right now.
Has.
But it's like when the Islanders, and we've talked about it in the past, when the Islanders lose, they lose. I mean, it's you know, you either get the full 60 minutes or you get nothing. You know, it's just, I know they made a nice little comeback Saturday night in St. Louis, but right. that was not a game that I thought they were really in as we got to it later. You know, they got a couple third period goals, but, you know, you look at these games in the past couple weeks, whether it be Carolina Monday, you go back to Calgary, Columbus, that Ottawa game on a Saturday afternoon. I mean, you got a lot of instances here where the Islanders just completely do not show up. And
yeah,
that's just terrible.
That stuff has to go away for sure. We have Mike Fornabio on the phone. Mike, Brian Compton and Mike Carver here in New York City. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it. Obviously, there's a goaltending dilemma here in New York. Jean-Francois Berube is not playing very well, and there's rumors that Yaroslav Halak might be called back to the Islanders. Have you heard anything about that? And more importantly for me, I know his numbers are good. How has he handled this whole situation in Bridgeport?
He's handled it really well. I mean, all you've heard from coaches, from players, from day one is how important he's been to this team on and off the ice. I mean, I'm actually writing something tomorrow about that, kind of postponed it a few times over the past couple of weeks, but it was kind of time to do it. You know, just the leadership he's shown, you know, just, you know, a couple of people have mentioned, you know, stretching with the defenseman, talking about this, that, you know, defensively, you know, how to play different things. And obviously on the ice, he's, you know, he's an NHL goalie in an AHL game. So he has really carried this team back into the playoff race.
He's done a good job, Michael. There's no question about that. And we talk about how the team needs him right now. I keep hearing the last couple of days, well, Bridgeport will be left without goalies if he comes up because Berube would have to go through waivers. At the end of the day, I mean, they're there to serve the Islanders. I know that Bridgeport is trying to win and they're trying to get the playoffs, but if the Islanders need Yaro Halak, he's got to come up here, right?
I mean, that's what the AHL's for. That's entirely right. And, you know,
if they decide
they need him, then...
I know Gibson's out for the year, but who else do they have behind Yaro right now at Bridgeport?
Amon McAdam is here right now. He's only played a couple games since he's come back up from Missouri. He's a young goalie. You know, just like Stephon Williams, who's down in Missouri right now. You know, they're kids who have talent. They're kids who've had some big games, and they're kids who are, you know, sort of finding their consistency right now. And if Halak went up, I'm sure that Williams would come back up here, and the two kids would tandem again. They did for a while after Gibson went down and before Halak got here, and it was up and down as you'd expect from two young goaltenders. But like you say, you know, if the Islanders decide that's what they need, then that's what they're going to do because that's the priority, and it's always been the priority.
Yeah, Mike, can you clarify this for us? I've heard this from a couple of different people. Berube cannot play for the Sound Tigers, correct? He wasn't on their clear day roster or whatever it's called now.
That's right. I think that's a CBA thing. I think if you're up at the trade deadline, I don't think you can come back down again, period. I don't think you can send a guy down on just a regular conditioning stint at this point, but, it, you know, if there were injury, I think that would be a different story, but I believe that's about the only way you could.
All right, Mike, so another guy who has been down at Bridgeport for all the year, supposed to be a part of the big club, was Ryan Pulock. How's he been looking down there? The Islanders could use him on the power play. Give us a little bit on Ryan here so far down at the Bridge.
You know, he's produced pretty consistently. They've had him, you know, pretty much in all situations. He's been on the PK quite a bit. You know, they've really settled into kind of a top four here with he's been paired with Kane LaFranchise, who's a little older AHL guy, and then you've had Devontae's paired with Kyle Burrows. Two young draft pick guys who both played pretty well as well. I mean, Pulock, I mean, you know, he's been good on the power play. That shot's in evidence. He's made plays. He's skating. You know, one word that Brent Thompson always talks about with him is assertiveness, and, you know, he keeps that up. You know, I think he's got a pretty good chance to do some things, you know, and whether that's immediate or not, you know, it's you kind of wonder when he's going to get that shot, but, you know, I guess they've got numbers up there right now, and that's where they are.
Yeah, Mike, are you or even Ryan surprised that he's still down there? Because even when he's been here, he's been really good, and he obviously had the injury earlier in the year. This was going back to Jack Capuano. He basically told me that Ryan was just going down for conditioning, and lo and behold, he's been down there for a few months. Do you notice him getting frustrated at all?
I don't really see it. I haven't really talked straight up about that, but, just talking about his progression at different times and just kind of keeping it growing, it's something's out of his control. And I think, I'm sure he wants to be up there, and I'm sure it's something that matters, but I don't think it doesn't seem to me, at least, that he's let it affect him.
All right, Mike, obviously a couple of weeks ago, the Islanders brought Josh Hosang up after being down at the Bridge all year. Were you a little surprised that the Isles brought him up just because we had heard that he had sat a few games, to take a look from up in the press box? He's played great for the Islanders since coming up here. What'd you think of Hosang getting the call up a couple weeks ago?
People had asked me that when they called Bracken Kearns up. I think Clutterbuck was hurt.
Yeah,
and that kind of made sense for the role. And then you lose guys like Alan Klein, and it seemed like that might be, a spot where you'd give a kid like Hosang a look. And obviously, the scratches early in the year, and the time that he was late in mid-January, that all, you go through all that. Since then, since about his birthday in late January, he's, it's like something's really clicked, it seems like. He's got that assertiveness in the defensive zone a lot more. He's made smarter plays with the puck, and I think it makes sense that, definitely to give him that look. And it's really impressive just to see the way that he's grabbed and run with it. I've only got to see a little bit of it, but you see the skill, you see the vision, and it was funny last night listening to Butch Gorey mentioning that they want him to shoot more. That's something that Brent Thompson said quite a bit as well. But it's good to see the kid doing it. And he's always seemed like a good kid. Even when things were back and forth, everybody, seemed to have a lot of respect for each other, and good for him that it's all come together.
Yeah, how bad were those first couple of months there, Mike? Because obviously we were reading all your stuff, just like all our listeners do, and we can only go by what you're reporting. Was it a major soap opera? He wouldn't talk to me about it when he first got called up. Just curious how rocky or not rocky that relationship was the first few months.
Even when he was being scratched, even when they were going through it all, they really genuinely seemed to like each other, coach and player. And I think there was respect for where each other was coming from. It's something that Thompson said about different players in the past too. Kids come up from junior and they've had success and they've got their habits that they're in where, this has always worked here. Why won't it work? Why won't it work at the next level? And you kind of learn what will and what won't work. And, it's just kind of getting through the first little bit where you learn those things and you get everything kind of in place. And, some people it clicks right away. Some people it takes a little while. And it seems like it's really all come together now.
Couple more before we let you go here, Michael. Thanks again. I really appreciate your time here. Michael Dalcol, 13 goals in 60 games. I don't know how Islander fans feel about that. I think they were expecting a little bit more offensive production from Michael. How's his season been?
Another kind of thing where over the past month and a half, his numbers have picked up. He had a little stretch over about 14, 15 games or so where he was averaging about a point a game coming into this week, and I think they changed an assist. He might actually be back up to that point a game over the last like 15, 16 games. Another kind of thing where it's assertiveness, it's pace, it's learning, to kind of keep everything going, or, learning the way through the defensive zone. It's another situation where things seem to kind of be coming together a little bit, and he's using the shot a little more. He even said last week, did a story that ran, I think, last Friday, just playing with Hosang and Josh Lindquist as well, it kind of picked up his pace a little bit. You gotta keep up with those guys. And, the chemistry was really strong. with that line, and it's really picked all their games up. And so, you know, he's making progress, I think, and you know, still got a little bit to go, but I think he is making progress.
That's good news for sure. Last one, Devin Toews. I like this kid a lot, Michael. Fastest skater at the AHL All-Star game there. Second on the team in scoring with 38 points. Is this kid going to be an NHL defenseman soon, do you think?
I think he is. I mean, it's funny, you know, other guys came down a little more heralded, but I mean, you know, right from the start, you know, everybody seemed to be raving about this kid, you know, coming out of camp and just how good he was going to be. And, I mean, he's just been very, very steady over the course of the year, too. You know, I even asked him last week, you know, about, you know, some of these college kids, you know, they play 40 games and hit the wall, and here he is 61 games in, he's played every game, and he's been, you know, he's been one of the best defensemen, you know, quite possibly in the AHL. I think he's leading rookies right now in the AHL in assists at 34. And, you know, working the power play and, again, working the penalty kill, and just, you know, he plays a really steady game. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. You know, it's not always flashy, but, you know, he produces, and, you know, and especially for a rookie to come in here and I think be as good as he is, I think that says a lot about him.
Yeah, look, he looks to be a player for sure. Mike, great stuff. We really appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks again to Mike Fornabio from the Connecticut Post. Follow him on Twitter at FornabioCTP. He is your number one source for everything Sound Tigers. He's been there forever. He does a terrific job. Let's get into the goaltending, Mike. Look, I haven't been a fan of the way Yarrow has handled himself at times here in New York. He has to come back. They cannot go down the stretch with J.F. Berube in the mix. I know Berube can't go down, so he's going to be here at the end of the day. Maybe he just has to be in street clothes for the last month of the season, because you can't have three goalies in practice. You can't go down that road again. We know how Yarrow feels about it, but they have to rectify the situation right now.
They need to do whatever helps them win hockey games.
Yep.
And right now, Berube stinks. Garth Snow, this one's going to fall. You know, this fell on him. We talked about
this
for 15 months, Brian.
Yep.
For 15 months.
Yep.
We talked about the three-goalie garbage. And listen, I didn't say for the last few weeks that I didn't think Yarrow Halak could help the Islanders. He could obviously help the Islanders. What I've been saying is it seems like they want nothing to do with them.
Right.
So whatever happened, and the agent stuff happened way back in October, November.
Yep.
Months went by before this move was made.
Right.
Something else happened that we don't know about.
Well, the Minnesota game.
You know,
That was the last straw. You can't,
I understand.
You can't blow
that
off
game.
Your teammates. It's a family.
Absolutely, but I mean, there could have. We don't know exactly, you know,
right.
what else was said, you know, after
right.
the game. Who knows what was really said in that
right.
room, Brian? That's
yep.
all I'm saying.
Of course, yep.
So this is something. This was more than hockey, in my opinion. Him getting banished down to Bridgeport, and now we're in a spot where I don't give, a rat's, you know what, that the Bridgeport Sound Tigers aren't going to have a goalie for their playoff. I don't care
right.
about the Bridgeport Sound Tigers playoffs or if they. I don't care. I tweeted this yesterday. I don't care if they go get a rec goalie from Fairfield University to go play for them. They are there to facilitate the New York Islanders
yes.
and help them win games. I don't care about an AHL championship. So if they need to bring Yarrow Halak out of Bridgeport, who cares who plays goalie for them?
Right.
Whether it's a couple guys from Missouri or anybody, I don't care, Bri. So bring the guy back. Get him back into rotation with Greiss. Send Berube to the showers, to the upstairs, to the box. I don't care what you do with the guy. And let's go and continue to try to win hockey games.
No question. Look, maybe you have to sit Yarrow down when he comes back, and you have to think it's going to happen within the next 48 hours. He has to come back because they can't move forward with this tandem right now. You sit him down. You tell him, look, Thomas Greiss is still the number one goaltender. We need you to be a good soldier here. I'll try to trade you at the draft to a team that needs a number one. You did all the right things down in Bridgeport. You didn't slam us through the media. You went down and you played your rear end off. Good for you. But you have to, when we need you to go in there and help us win hockey games. That's your number one job.
I'm with you 1,000%. You need to talk to the guy. Tell him exactly what you just said. Be the good. Continue to do what you've been doing down in Bridgeport. Keep your mouth shut. Play goal. We're going to get you in there. Greiss can't play every game. We've seen that, what happens when he plays every single night. But you just have to do it, and you have to just take care of business. We'll get rid of you when you can. And if you're Garth Snow, you have to finally stand up and admit to the world
yep.
that J.F. Berube is not Patrick Roy, and he was wrong by keeping him.
For
he's just going to have – if you're going to be a GM in this league, Bri, sometimes you're going to make mistakes. Garth's made a lot of them.
Yep.
And it's time to just stand up and admit you made one here. You got to let the kid go, like you said, not even at practice. He's not even going to be out there sharing time.
No.
You're just finished, all right? And you're a free agent at the end of the year. Have fun with whoever wants to sign you to be on their AHL team.
For all the credit we gave Garth for Josh Hosang and sticking with the kid till he figured things out, we have to slam him for the way this went on for as long as it did and for what reason. Because this kid is he's an AHL goalie, Mike. At the end of the day, that's what he is. And I know when we had Chris King on back in October, he said, well, what if Yarrow gets hurt, blah, blah, blah. Yarrow was healthy all season. And they went on with this circus that no other team does. You know, Barzal got two games that were sent back. They waived Parenteau. They carried six defensemen on opening night, all to carry a goaltender who does not belong here. I'm sorry. Huh? I like JF. He's a good kid. But at the end of the day, he just has not been an NHL goalie, and I don't understand why this went on as long as it did.
Now, I know he's not going to get fired, but it's a fireable offense. If you miss the playoffs and this continue to happen, what he did with the goalies is that. I stand by a lot of things I've stand by haven't happened lately, so if you want to take this with a grain of salt, I stand by. I don't think that Garth Snow is going to get fired at the end of the year.
Nor do I.
But I think that this is a fireable offense, what he did with this goaltending and how he over-evaluated J.F. Berube. He clearly did.
No, Mike, you can find a backup goaltender anywhere.
Yeah, no doubt. look around the league.
Look at the Kings. The Kings lost Jonathan Quick in the first period of the first game, and Peter Budaj stepped in and got seven shutouts for them before he was traded to Tampa at the deadline.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just they're out there to get. You just have to do it, and it was a terrible job by Garth. But now you need to do what's best for the hockey team, and the best thing for the hockey team right now is Thomas Greiss and Yaro Halak, and that's it. And I still believe Greiss more than Halak, but it's got to be those two guys.
Absolutely. Before we go, let's talk about the standings for a minute here, Mike. I think the Leafs are toast. I really do. I think they've had a great year, no matter what happens, because I don't think anybody saw them being in this race as long as they have been. The team that I'm worried about is the Lightning. I don't know how they're doing this without Stamkos and with all the guys they traded away at the deadline, but they just keep finding ways to win hockey games.
And
really
they're
impressive.
Also missing didn't Johnson and
Johnson's
Paquette,
banged
a
up. It's crazy.
I mean, they just lost a whole bunch of guys. They're a really good team, Bri. They are. I know that they're missing a lot of their parts right now, but this is a team that has, in the last 2 years, they've gone to a Stanley Cup final and then went to an Eastern Conference final last year. A lot of those pieces are still there. And I know Bishop's gone and Stamkos is hurt and Johnson hurt, Paquette, whatever's going on, but they've got that thing inside of them and they got a great coach, and that's the team that I would be worried about right now. I honestly, it's a 50-50 proposition right now. I think the Islanders are right there. It's going to be them, Tampa. I'm not as completely out on Toronto as you are right now. I think they still have a little bit to say here. I believe they play Tampa tomorrow night. So they got a little crack at the Lightning coming up here this week. So I don't think we've heard the last from Toronto yet. But this is going to come down to the end. It's literally, I think, going to come down to the last weekend. So you just got to strap in and hope that you can take care of business.
Yeah, and that's why it goes back to the goaltending, Mike. The Islanders have to keep finding ways to get points night after night after night. And with this goaltending tandem, I don't see how they can do that.
And they have to find a way. And it starts, obviously, Thursday. You got a team like the Winnipeg Jets coming into your building. That's a game at home that you got to win. That's a two-point night right there. Another dreaded afternoon game on Saturday against Columbus. I think I'm going to be out there, Bri, so everybody come say hi. I'm going to the game Saturday. So it's going to be who knows what to expect. The Blue Jackets are playing well. The Islanders can't stand afternoon games, so that could be a problem there. And then another Ranger game next week. So there's plenty of big games coming up down the corner, and the Isles have to be ready for them.
We will be back probably Monday. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks again to Mike Fornabio. Mike, I'll see you soon.
You got it, pal.
All right, everybody be well. Thanks again. Talk to you soon.
This has been the Islanders Point Blank Podcast, part of the SNY.TV Audio Network.